Good morning. If you're looking to free your mind, stop looking. Stop looking. Your mind's already free. The mind, whatever that is, has never been caught within an avalanche of characteristics. The essence of mind has always been and will always be awareness. There would be no notion of a mind without awareness as the primary. There's no awareness of mind or anything else without awareness. There's no way to come up with any concept, any characteristic whatsoever without awareness. And that awareness is vast as infinite space, pure space, open space, entirely spacious, never constrained, restricted, confined, contracted by anything. Any belief that you are caught up within a cage of characteristics is just that, it's a belief, just another point of view. The vast expanse of pure awareness, like infinite space, can be considered to be something that is not a thing. It's not a destination. There's nothing to do. There's nothing to do to get it. The more effort that's put into trying to achieve to it, the less possible it will be to know it. So don't look. Don't look anywhere. Don't look anywhere for your awareness. Don't look anywhere for your mind. Don't look anywhere for your ego. If you're in an avalanche, you have to know how to get out. Does anyone here know how to get out of an avalanche? Someone here will need to know this, literally and figuratively. When you're in an avalanche, in order to get out, the worst thing you can do is start digging. Does anyone have any idea what to do?
You spit to see which way is down.
Exactly. You spit and then the force of gravity will pull it in the direction of the earth. So then you know which way to dig, the opposite way that the spit falls. And the same is true with the ease of our own awareness. Just allowing the ease of our own awareness, we don't have to do anything. If we make no effort, then everything is revealed. Everything is revealed about the reality of our being, the practicalities of our life and everything else. But if we start digging helter-skelter in all the concepts and all the characteristics, we'll be trapped in those forever. We'll become exhausted and suffocated by all the characteristics that have been adopted over the years. And all these characteristics, whatever they are, it's entirely up to us whether we have them or not. There's no magical mystery tour by where we're going to suddenly get zapped and then suddenly we won't have any concepts anymore. That could happen, but the chances of it happening are maybe 1 in 7 billion. So what odds do we want to take? Do we want to take the direct odds of the immediacy of our own experience as awareness, or some long shot of 1 in 7 billion of some big boom happening where all of a sudden we're timelessly free as we've always been? So you see, what I'm suggesting here is freedom and immediate perception. Freedom and immediate perception. FIP for short, FIP. Freedom and immediate perception. That's the only freedom there is. When there's freedom as the awareness that is the only immediacy of every perception, in other words, the vivid wakefulness that is the reality of every perception, no perception would not be without that vivid wakefulness. When we are at ease, just as that awareness, allowing the seeing of that awareness to happen, rather than getting all involved in the story of the characteristics associated with that description, then there's freedom. There's complete freedom. And there's never falling back from that freedom because we're not in a state. These days, so many people try to get into a state in order to be awakened. They think awakening is a state, this state or that state, emptiness, nothingness, no self, no thought, a non-conceptual state, the void, bliss, clarity, compassion, whatever it is. But freedom is not a state. Timeless freedom is timelessly free of all characteristics. It's never been trapped in any kind of cage of philosophy. It's never been owned by anyone. When we give timeless freedom characteristics, then we say that something owns timeless freedom, a characteristic. Whatever it is, religion, spirituality, this great one, that great one, anyone but us, they're the ones who own it. But you see, the reality of what we are is that our birthright is timeless freedom. We're already timelessly free. We're timelessly free when we're born, all during our life and at our death, and before and after all of those, without any time at all occurring. So the whole notion of time and space is also a characteristic. The whole notion of cause and effect is a characteristic. The whole notion of effort and achievement is a characteristic. The whole notion of a destination of enlightenment and someone going there is a characteristic. The whole notion that there is a mind that is born and is located somewhere and then ceases is a characteristic. All these are characteristics that are trapped within a cage of cause and effect. And if we persist in elaborating on all of our concepts throughout our life, then we're completely trapped in that cage of characteristics, no matter what it might be. And this is entirely our choice. It's not some esoteric endeavor. It's within the purview of every breath of our life to be who we are. And the more acquainted we become with that, the more full evidence of it becomes real. When we don't know that about ourselves, we're trapped within dualistic perception. We seem to be trapped. We're never really trapped, but we seem to be trapped. We live our whole life just kind of half drunk on all our perceptions, whatever they may be. I know this because until 25 years ago, I kind of staggered around a bit myself on all these characteristics, points of view that I had accumulated. But, you know, the reality is that for each of us, and this is what I found in my own case, that I couldn't support myself as a living being. There was no way I could support myself as a living being with an intravenous solution of characteristics. You know, I just couldn't support myself that way. All my life support systems went out, trying to keep all those concepts in place. And I found that all of these things that I had made up, like my psychology and my intellect, and my psychology and my intellect as a way to support me and give me a happy life, that they availed me nothing. Even though I was very accomplished in the world, it availed me nothing. It did not avail me satisfaction and fulfillment. What it did avail me is bewilderment and despair. I felt lost in all these concepts, and I really didn't know what to do about it. When all my strategies came to an end, all my strategies of characteristics, I just didn't know what to do about it, and I felt totally powerless. In that powerlessness, I suddenly realized that all of these thoughts, all of these perceptions, all of these huge emotions, all of the circumstances of my life, that they all have the same underlying basis. They have the same underlying basis and support, the same foundation, and that foundation is not, it's uncreated. It's unborn. It's the unborn vast expanse. I didn't really even know what to call it. I just knew when I allowed that ease of each perception as the perception, not split off from it, just the ease of every perception as that perception, there was just complete relief and timeless freedom. And the more that I rested as the perceptions, the more free I was. And the more free I was, the more I realized I'd always been free. That it was just the way I'd been looking at things that had caused me to believe that I was not free. And with that ease of being, and no tension, I found a warmth arise in me of full-blown compassion, a compassion that's inherent, compassion that's totally inherent, not waking up in the morning and saying, oh, I'm going to be compassionate today no matter what happens. Compassion that's inherent, that can't be turned off. It doesn't have an off-on switch. It can't be turned on or off. The compassion that always is. And that wisdom as well is inherent. That wisdom is inherent. So we can't learn wisdom. We can't learn to be wise. We can't go to school and cultivate wisdom. If we try to do that, we may have sporadic wisdom, but we won't have all-encompassing wisdom that always is. This all-encompassing wisdom and compassion that always are inseparable from timeless freedom that includes all of the characteristics, but it's beyond characteristics, beyond time and space, beyond cause and effect, beyond anything that can be named. We learn that we are bound by time and space and cause and effect only because it's a convention, it's what most people believe. But really, as a human culture, we don't have a choice to go on like that. We can't solve our problems within such a limited way as cause and effect in time and space. And many of our problems today we're beginning to solve outside time and space, outside cause and effect. But these are more like fluke breakthroughs of timeless awareness. There are very few people today who are living the full evidence of the reality of timeless awareness. But that timeless awareness is the reality of everyone, the reality of every human being. And the only way to bring that forth is for each person to take responsibility for it. Like I said earlier, it's not some kind of magical feat. It's the reality of what we are. If we continue to search and look within forms that don't serve at all to bring about the full evidence of that, there will continue to be a lot of effort with very little achievement. There will continue to be the belief that there's some kind of cause that can lead to the result of enlightenment. But you see, the reality of timeless freedom is that it already is. It already is. It doesn't need to be cultivated or developed. It's causeless. It's uncaused. It is not within the realm of cause at all. It's already accomplished. So for each of us, the only way to really get acquainted with that, to familiarize ourselves with who we are, is just to rest naturally without seeking anything. In other words, bring all the stories to a stop. When a perception comes up, instead of wandering off into the dilemma, the crisis, the ordeal of the story, whether it's positive, negative, or neutral, just allow that ease of the awareness that already is as each perception. And as that ease becomes more obvious, then it becomes more fully evident. It's as simple as that. It's very, very straightforward and simple, and it doesn't mean we're tackling one perception at a time. When one perception arises and we're able to find the ease that is the essence of that perception and rest as that without seeking anything, without describing anything, then we immediately have freedom in a large number of perceptions. From then on, we'll have complete freedom as all those perceptions. That ease will be already totally available in many other perceptions. The putting together the cage of characteristics is what is exhausting. That's what really takes a lot of work. That's what needs to be accomplished. But who we are doesn't need to be accomplished. It's inseparable from who we are. Inseparable from who we are. So you see, there's no way we can ever separate out from it. We don't come together with it and then separate from it. If we forget who we are, we don't separate from who we are. And then when we remember who we are, we don't come together with who we are. There's nothing coming together or separating in timeless awareness. So even when we forget we're enlightened or we don't recognize awareness, forgetting we're enlightened, doubting that we're enlightened, and not recognizing awareness, all those are timelessly free too. There's nothing that is not timelessly free. So if we have the thought, oh, I'm not recognizing awareness, I guess I'm not enlightened, I'll never be enlightened, and all of those thoughts everyone has at some point, then just know that all those are timelessly free too. When those perceptions come up, allow the ease of the immediacy of your own being. Because no matter what the perception is, whether we've judged it to be positive, negative, or neutral, good, bad, or otherwise, it's timelessly free. So if we persist in living our life trying to put together a whole lot of positive qualities, good qualities, virtuous qualities, and thinking that we have to diminish all the negative qualities, all the habitual patterns, then we'll spend our whole life that way. We'll spend our whole life digging to trying to get out of the avalanche and all the while suffocating. Well, who wants to spend their life like that? But when we just relax, totally relax and just spit a little, then we realize it's easy when we don't effort. You know, it's really easy when we don't effort. When we spit in the right direction within a perception, then we realize we're timelessly free through the natural ease of our own being. We don't have to do anything to be who we are. So just stop seeking, you know, stop seeking, stop looking, stop analyzing, stop looking at your points of view. All of that is just more confusion. These are just all ways of being within the norm, within convention. But you know, we as humankind, we don't have a choice to persist on that road anymore. We've come to a point in our evolution where to continue to persist in dualistic perception is just going to lead to more and more tension in the world. We see this already. Every day there's just more and more tension all over the world. And no matter how many solutions we put together within cause and effect, we can never seem to find any solutions to these problems. They just keep growing worse and worse. We slap a band-aid on there and a band-aid on there, and we just can't find a solution anywhere. No matter how many great technologies we put together or whatever, we just can't seem to find solutions to the problems. You know, as I said yesterday, even though there are these countries who have all the riches and technology and all kinds of advanced warheads that no one else has and everyone wants and this, that, and the other thing, what use is that? They can't even find some guy in a cave in Afghanistan, you know? So all these solutions within cause and effect, They just don't lead anywhere. They just lead to more of the same. They lead to more of the same. So you see, it's up to us. It's not a matter of, oh, they're doing it and we're not responsible. We're responsible for our perceptions. And humankind needs to make this shift from the dual perspective to the non-dual perspective. It's extremely important. And we have to stop saying, oh, so-and-so owns enlightenment, so-and-so's a great being, but I'm not. And you see, all this is duality. In the highest teachings that exist in the world and that have existed for tens of thousands of years and that are no different than what I'm telling you right here, it's said that all ordinary beings are great beings. And what that means is that all a great being is awareness only, awakened awareness only, the full evidence of awakened awareness. And everyone, no matter who they are, also is awakened awareness. So whoever we are, as we already are awakened awareness, then the awakened awareness of all great beings is present as us. But for some of us, when we hear that, we just shudder. Oh no, I'm too little, I'm too small, I could never be like that. Well, how do you know? You know, when we've spent our whole life with our body, speech, mind, and activities focused on self, on self-centered fear, an imagined self and all the fearful consequences that go along with it, then we can't possibly know what our true body, speech, and mind are. We think that our body, speech, and mind are this body, speech, mind, and activities that are totally absorbed and focused on self and its personal comfort zone, how to keep it comfortable, how to kind of calm down all the emotional states and the thinking and the habitual patterns and that kind of thing. And we fear ourselves, we fear these negative things, the thoughts, the emotional states. No matter how hard we've tried, we've never been able to get a control on them. Maybe we've neutralized them a little bit, but we've never been able to bring them to an end, no matter what. Even if we enter into our best state of emptiness, it's some point there's another one that pops up. So you see, the body, speech, and mind and activities that are absorbed in all the characteristics are absorbed in this imagined personal identity that is nothing but a point of view in the vast expanse of awareness, like a mirage. Every time we have the point of view of a personal identity, it's like the flight path of a bird in the sky. It vanishes naturally without a trace. We don't even have to do anything about it. It just vanishes in and of itself. If we start trying to do something about it, then we'll never notice that it dissolves naturally. It's its own undoing. If we try to grab onto it, then we have to build lots of characteristics about it. But if we really just sit still for a minute and be at ease as any perception, we'll see that the perception of being a personal somebody hardly ever appears. You know, we're not sitting around 24/7 saying, oh, I am somebody, I am somebody, I am somebody, just to prove that we exist. It's just a point of view. It's a point of view, and it rarely occurs. When we begin to familiarize ourselves with the ease of our own awareness, we notice more and more that our body, speech, and mind, they're just not what we took them to be. They're not what we took them to be. Rather than what we took them to be, as we begin to relax, we find that it's natural for our body, speech, mind, and activities to be for the benefit of the whole. To be for the benefit of the whole. As this warmth of compassion and wisdom begin to appear as the reality of our being, inseparable from our awakened awareness, our body, speech, and mind, too, is realized to be vast as infinite space, including cause and effect, but completely beyond cause and effect. The difference is that between standing in the valley and looking around and just seeing whatever is there, the cage of characteristics, or being on the summit of the mountain and being able to see everything from the summit. From the vast expanse of awareness, all is seen as it is. Things are seen in their particularity. Everything is known about every description, but every description is also known to have no origin independent of awareness. There's no description that has ever been that has an origin independent of awareness. There's never been a characteristic or description of any kind that exists elsewhere other than awareness. Awareness always is. It's already accomplished. The reality of it is right here. And the immensity and potency of its benefit is also right here. And this is what we need so much. You know, we need it for each of us as individuals. That's where the proof is that it's real, when we realize that for ourselves. When we realize that for ourselves, then we know immediately that that's the case for everyone. There's no one left out. If we truly know that about ourselves, we know it's absolutely the case for everyone. So don't ever sell yourself short. No matter what point of view comes up, any way you might diminish yourself, just know that that perception too is timelessly free. Any habitual pattern you've been trying to change all your life and never have been able to, or even if you have been able to change it, get to know it as awakened awareness. It's never been anything that's had power to control you. When we live from a dual perspective, we believe that all these points of view, no matter what they are, are something that can control us, that we're dependent on our thinking, we're dependent on our emotional states, we're dependent on the sensations of our body. But all those are dependent on awareness. The body is dependent on awareness, not awareness on the body. So that's a key distinction. Most of us think that awareness is dependent on our body. But awareness, it is whether we are or not. Awareness is whether we are or not. So you see, there's nothing to prove. There's nothing to prove and there's nothing to refute either. There's nothing to renounce and there's nothing to indulge. No matter what the perception is, it's all always timelessly free. The more there is running from one perception to another trying to fix the perception, the more discomfort and tension there is. This discomfort and tension comes from all the doing, from all the effort, from all the effort to make something out of what requires no effort. Nothing need be done, nothing whatsoever need be done to be who you are. Nothing need be said, nothing need be thought. All characteristics, no matter what they are, have already been released in infinite space. They don't need to be released. They don't need to be released. In fact, you don't even need to rest naturally if you don't want to. There are quite a few people in this room who have never rested naturally. They just keep coming here and then it dawns. It dawns. What dawns is that which has always been, you know. And there's no falling back from it. So it's not one of these states you get into and then all of a sudden you wake up and think, oh dear. My regular life's back, you know. I went to that workshop and it felt really good, and I knew I'd found it. And then I went home on Sunday, and oh, Monday, yeah, I was flying, I was sailing. I definitely knew I had it then. But by Wednesday, oh, my knees started to shake. I was starting to forget everything about the workshop. So it's not that kind of thing. Those are states, you see, just more points of view. They may not be the conventional points of view. Even exalted states like no thought or emptiness or whatever it is. You see, awakened awareness is timelessly free as all characteristics. It doesn't need one characteristic to describe it. If we try to find one characteristic to describe it, then we put it in a cage. You know, if we say, oh, I have to belong to this religion to get enlightened, or oh, I have to belong to that spiritual tradition to be enlightened, then, you know, we put it in a cage. That doesn't mean that we have to do away with religion and spirituality, because timeless freedom isn't circumstance dependent. It doesn't depend on something else. So you see, if we give it a characteristic, we make it dependent on something else. We're always timelessly free no matter what we're up to. Say we've lived in an ashram or monastery since we were 5 years old. We've always known that timeless freedom was our career. We knew it when we were a little kid. And we signed up early on for timeless freedom. We wanted everything about it. We didn't want to live within the regular world. So we went to the monastery or ashram when we were young, and all our life we've been doing practices, pujas, rituals, mantra repetition, meditation, study, all of this, all of our life. Well, and then we hear about timeless freedom. Well, we don't have to change a thing. We're probably pretty comfortable living where we are. It's been our whole life. Now we can just be timelessly free as all those pujas, rituals, practices, everything else. Nothing needs to change. Absolutely nothing needs to change. Or, you know, say we're a software engineer at Amazon.com. Same thing goes there. You know, we can be writing code and or Microsoft or wherever it might be. We can be writing code all day. Maybe we like to write code 23 hours a day. Maybe the monk or nun likes to meditate 23 hours a day. We like to write code 23 hours a day. That's our form of meditation. All timelessly free. Nothing is required. No changes need to be made. No changes at all. And as we allow this complete ease, the seeing that is the immediacy of every perception, the vivid wakefulness that outshines every single point of view, no matter what it is, we realize more and more that who we are isn't circumstance dependent. It's not circumstance dependent at all. If we take up residence in a state and try to hold on to that, that's circumstance dependent. It's dependent on maintaining a state, whatever it is, abiding or emptiness or nothingness or no self, anything, even consciousness. What's aware of consciousness? Awareness. So, awareness. Aware basic space. Vast. The vast expanse. Awareness inseparable from basic space. Know that pure space is yourself. Start there. That's the starting point, rather than a destination. There's no destination and there's no one going there. There's no destination and no one going there. All points of view, no matter what they are included and contained and subsumed within the pure view of awareness. As they are subsumed within the pure view of awareness, all points of view are equal to awareness in being unborn. They're nothing but the vast expanse of infinite space. Whether it's a point of view of you or other or me or whatever it is nothing but the vast expanse of infinite space. It's equal to infinite space. No point of view comes together with awareness and then separates from it. All points of view, no matter what they are, they only are awareness. They're the dynamic energy of awareness and nothing else. In this moving of the dynamic energy of awareness and the awareness which never moves are not two. So the moving and the unmoving are not two. So we don't even need to make awareness into something that never moves, trying to enter into a static condition. The moving and the unmoving are not two. Indulgence and timeless freedom are not two. Renunciation and timeless freedom are not two. No matter what polarities we look at, whatever it is, whatever characteristic it is, it and timeless awareness are not two. And we can never think our way into the direct realization of that. It's impossible to think our way into the direct realization of that. We can only allow that ease that is the reality of what's right here, what's so palpably present right here, where there's nothing going on. There's nothing going on, no thought about, oh, did my breakfast make me sick, or what am I going to have for dinner, or what am I going to do the rest of the day? Just the palpable reality of what's always the case, what's always naturally present, what's entirely naturally occurring, what's never been confined in any way by anything. So no matter what thought is had, no matter what emotion is felt, no matter what sensation is felt or engaged in, all timelessly free. All timelessly free. Stop trying to rearrange your perceptions in order to be timelessly free if you're doing that. Stop anything you're doing that you believe is a cause that will lead to an effect of enlightenment. Everything about you, everything that has ever happened, is happening now or ever will happen. It's already timelessly free, including your own death. So don't seek anywhere. Don't seek anywhere. What you are, you already are. And no one can ever give it to you or take it away from you. That's impossible. You already are. Whoever would like to may ask a question or share about living as awareness. Yes?
You said don't search, and you said don't look. Mm-hmm. You didn't say stop listening.
You said it.
The question is then implied. What is important about listening to talks like this?
You tell me what's important about listening to talks like this.
Nothing.
Well, you know, there's a great tendency nowadays to adopt extremes. And especially in many of the contemporary Enlightenment teachings, there's a focus on adopting extremes, like there is no doer, you don't need anything, you don't need a teacher, all you have to do is be awareness, and here are some tricks and gimmicks for doing that. But, you know, what we really need to look at as human beings, if we really want to be free, and this just requires elementary discrimination and discernment. If we really want to be free, and we're really totally committed to that, not only for ourselves, but for everyone, and it's only when we are committed to it for everyone, including ourselves, that the proper motivation is in place, then the circumstances where that will become available to us naturally come to be. They naturally come to pass. So throughout all of time, there are certain teachings where more people have awakened than any other teachings. And those teachings are all the teachings of natural rest. And where those teachings have been so successful in millions of people waking up, the same things have been in place. In the Great Freedom Teaching, we call it reliance on the four comforts. Resting naturally, the teacher, the teaching, and the community. These are the supports for resting naturally as awareness. And wherever these teachings have been given and are given, there have been key points and pivotal instructions that not only introduce people to awareness, the direct experience of awareness in the beginning, just through sitting here, whether you're listening or not. But not just that, because sometimes that's possible to introduce this direct experience of awareness. But the other thing that's always present is the capacity for the full evidence of it to come about. So when these factors are present, then people easily wake up. So it's up to us to know, first of all, what we want. You know, do we want completely perfect enlightenment? The enlightenment that's been passed down for thousands of years throughout all generations of humankind? Or do we want some anomaly of point of view that's just freedom from mental concepts? When we have some kind of anomaly of point of view that's freedom from mental concepts, then we adopt extremes of what enlightenment is. And we might say, oh, nothing is needed, no teacher, nothing at all, you know, and I can do whatever I want. It doesn't matter what's done, it doesn't matter what's thought, doesn't matter what's said, it's all timelessly free, who cares anyway? Everything's a spontaneous functioning of consciousness. Can't do anything about it. If I get enlightened, I do, if I don't, I won't, you know? So this is the adoption of an extreme. So, you know, it depends on what we want for ourselves. If we want an extreme, well, that's up to whoever it is. But if we really want to look into the impeccable reality of what we are, the impeccable reality of what we are is completely available to us. And, you know, it even though it is not in time, it is time-honored. It's time-honored, you know, it's time-honored in the evidence of many, many people living as the full evidence of timeless freedom. So as to your question, what about, you know, listening? Should we stop listening too? For a while we listen, you know, we continue to listen, and then we find that we're not listening to somebody else, you know. that we are that in which the idea of a personal identity and a teacher appear. So you see, there's no way to make use of a teacher unless we already know that we are that in which we and the teacher appear. This is the way to really make use of a teacher. So you see, doing and non-doing are not two. Both are timelessly free. Listening and not listening are not two. They're both timelessly free.
I'm delighted at this. I'm very new, but I'm quite delighted to be here. And like you, I understand we come from the same area in Northern California.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
And there we're very accomplishment-oriented, goal-oriented. We're instructed usually to make affirmations and, you know, set goals and, you know, go for what we want. And this is so, you know, free. And if I'm understanding correctly, you know, maybe you can help me that, yes, it's not two. We can have our, you know, movement towards accomplishment, but not be attached to it and be more in a free space of resting and sort of moving in a natural way towards it. Am I understanding?
Yes, to just be at ease.
Just to be at ease as we make our movement without clutching or being so goal-oriented?
Well, without being so goal-oriented in the sense of the goal of describing every perception that comes up with further elaboration in order to try to contrive meaning. So say the perception of sadness comes up, and there are only two choices when any perception comes up. And this is the most important choice. It's the sublime choice we make in every perception. Either we can elaborate a story about it, continue to describe it and its meaning. In other words, say, oh, I'm sad. It's because my cat got hit by a car, and oh, I remember when I was a little girl and my little chihuahua died, and then and I was sad that other time too, and oh, maybe I'll be sad forever, you know, maybe the sadness will never go away. So you see, this is an elaboration, and it's kind of an exaggerated example, but you understand what I'm saying. So it's elaboration. Now the other choice is just to rest, you know, as the essence of the perception. To even though the it's a vivid appearance, the cat died, we're sad. We're always free as either of those perceptions. We don't need to plummet into the past or project ourselves into the future, elaborating other stories about it. And of course, you mentioned affirmations, and in Marin County, self-help books are very popular. I'm sure they sell at least $1 billion worth of self-help books a year in Marin County. It requires no longer trying to help a self that doesn't exist. The only freedom there is this freedom in every perception. And when we enjoy the freedom in every perception, then soon we don't have to effort at all. You know, there's no effort to make. We realize that all perceptions are timelessly free. And we introduce ourselves to that by realizing that one perception is timelessly free. Especially in areas that are a very cheap achievement and accomplishment oriented, and that's definitely one of the pockets there, Silicon Valley, the whole Bay Area, but many other places too. The whole life can be lost in the pursuit of accomplishment, but the thing about accomplishment is that it's never accomplished. It's never accomplished. We'll be there on our deathbed realizing that. Getting a little stiffer every second, realizing that, you know, we never reach that accomplishment we were going for. So the evidence of this is so clear in my own experience that I was always very achievement oriented, and 25 years ago when I realized who I have always been, that came to a complete stop. I stopped trying to achieve, but it didn't mean that I didn't achieve. It's just that everything comes about with effortless ease. It doesn't mean I don't plan. Of course I plan. See, nothing's left out. Nothing's left out whatsoever. But the distinction is that with the ease of our being, as the ease of our being that has no tension, every situation has no impediment. No matter what the situation is, there's no impediment. Whether it's our own thoughts, our emotional states, the sensations of our body, whether they're painful or pleasurable, there's no impediment. Nothing is made out of it. And so rather than work being exhausting, it's full of life. It's full of life. There's endless energy, the endless energy of timeless awareness. Rather than being exhausted at night, there's just, I go from very, very early, the wee hours of the morning, till night. And when I go to bed at night, I have to put myself to bed like a little kid. You know, okay, get in bed now. Close your eyes. And then after about an hour, I may go to sleep. So see, just like a child, we are timelessly free. You know, we've always been timelessly free. We were born timelessly free, no matter what we're doing. Even if we think I'm not timelessly free and I'll never be timelessly free, no matter what, we're already timelessly free. All those thoughts are timelessly free too. So when we just get used to that, it's so evident. It's so evident. It's not rocket science. We just gradually familiarize ourselves with it. Just like we learn to brush our teeth or tie our shoes. If we can learn those things, it'll be a snap to realize who we are. Has anyone here not learned to do either of those, brush teeth or tie shoes? Okay.
How to doesn't do it.
Hmm?
I wish I had better dental habits myself.
Oh. Yes, Sash.
I'm only up here because I felt like some of the themes that you've asked about are pertinent in our experiences that I'm having now that I would like to speak to you about. I have a long history with the Shivananda Ashram. Some of y'all may know it down the way here. And as Candace was saying earlier, some people have an urge from a very young age to seek, and I think I had that. And eventually, 25 years ago, came to the Shivananda Ashram. And the first thing that I would say, I have such a passionate interest in this teaching, but yet no inclination to give up my interest in the Shivananda Ashram or all the great teachings that I've had there, or that my teachers are somehow diminished. So that was one point I wanted to make. The passionate interest in this teaching does not mean that you don't do your yoga practice or that you don't have the allegiance to your teachers that you had. And I also am American and grew up in an environment of great go-go accomplishment. You know, I have to do this, and this has to be overcome, and all that sort of thing. And I brought that very much into my spiritual life. And even though my teachers were very clear in their admonition, a person doing something can't get anything. I never believe that. Swami Chidananda always begins his talks with radiant immortal Atman. I mean, that's what he sees us as, radiant immortal Atman. But I didn't see myself as radiant immortal Atman. I saw myself as somebody lacking something that needed to get something. And so when I first came to these teachings, it was only 3 weeks ago. It seems like decades, but it was 3 weeks ago I came and sat here. And when I heard Candace talking about no effort, my back kind of got up. Because, you know, we do hear these extreme teachings. Oh, there's nothing to do, and we're all one, and it's beautiful, and yes, that man's lying in the street, but it's all consciousness, you know. And so I sort of had this image in my mind that this is what this teaching was about. So now I come to sort of the punchline of this whole appearance up here. My whole life, as I say, has been an attempt to sort of patch over and achieve and move the bad stuff into the good category and put the very bad things in the delete box, and it just never worked. And I had sort of a revelation last night. Living in the ashram, I sometimes go walking on that upper road. Some of you all may know it, back behind the Shivananda Ashram. Last year, there were some young boys who came by on their motor scooters, and they were clearly out for sort of a brawl. And they came by me very closely, close enough to sort of, on their scooters, to nudge me off the road and yelled all these things, and then came back a second time just to mock me. And I was okay for about 5 minutes. And then I wanted to pull out my gun. But, you know, I tried to apply all the do-good stuff and do the mantra, and it just wouldn't go. And I'm very glad they didn't come back, because I might not be sitting here right now if they had come back. Well, yesterday, something very interesting happened. I have to say, these teachings have just gone into me in a way that I would have never expected. I did the 12 Inquiries course, and I'm now doing the Pure Space course. And in an unforeseen way, my whole way of looking at things has shifted. I sit here as a different person than I was three weeks ago. Yesterday, I was walking up the back road, and a very similar thing happened to what happened a year ago. One guy came by on a scooter, very aggressive. He may have been drunk, I don't know, and did all these sort of horrible things for no reason at all. I was just a casual person on the side of the road. And he said all these things and made all these gestures and drove off sort of like a brigand. And he drove off, and my first thought was, isn't the Ganga beautiful today? And the interesting thing was, there was no effort in it at all. All I was doing before he drove up was resting naturally. While he was sitting there saying all these things, I was resting naturally. And when he drove off, I was resting naturally. I was just amazed. I cannot tell you what an amazing circumstance that was for me. It didn't dawn on me until last night when I compared the two circumstances.
Oh, yeah.
Because I remembered last year where I thought, okay, all right, why don't you just come on back down here? And it doesn't mean, by the way, that the experience totally went away, because it became something that was in my consciousness, so it continued to come up, right? Mm-hmm. But I let that coming up rest. And so now I'm sitting here thinking, that was one big joke. You know? So I'm actually speaking to the gentleman in the back. I can see sort of where you're coming from with, if there's nothing to do, why are you giving these talks? Which was sort of how I felt when I first came. But I truly, I can tell you, it's my experience from having been at these talks. I mean, it's one thing to read something in a book, right, and say, well, okay. But if it's your ongoing experience that something has shifted and you find yourself in a spacious awareness that you never knew from your own experience, but only from the testimony of other people, you think, thank goodness, the world is a better place. So, anyway.
Thank you, Scott. Thank you. Oh. I'll sit over there and you sit up here. That was good. We'll sit quietly for a moment.